You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
On Tuesday, a study conducted by the Victoria University of Technology, Victoria University of Wellington, showed how coastal risks could be reduced and now instead of waiting for legislation. The report comes timely with the COP26 climate conference in Glasgow, as world leaders discuss how they can reach global emission reduction targets. The study's author, Judy Lawrence, says her research analyzes the difficulties of planning for the ongoing sea level rise under a planning regime which is largely permissive and enables land users with very long timeframes. Producer Joe Wickens spoke to her.
Can you tell me a bit about your study's findings in regard to how local leaders and planners can tackle threats to our coast?
Okay, the purpose of the report was really to look at what councils were doing currently to adapt to climate change at the coast, and in particular sea level rise. And we found that some were doing quite well in preparing, preparatory to actually adapting, and undertaking studies, risk assessments, vulnerability assessments, and so on. Others were sort of delaying and waiting and waiting until the issues about funding were sorted. And so the purpose of this report was really to see to what extent the provisions in the RMA, the Resource Management Act, could actually be used now to do the preparatory work before the legislation comes in, so that they get a good standing start. And we found that there were things that could be done now, for instance, better collaboration amongst councils to develop rules where to make it very clear that certain areas in New Zealand are not good places to be building houses, and so forth. So we found a number of provisions that could be used now so that they're prepared.
Based on your findings, what can councils and those in their position of leadership do in order to help address and get to work on this issue?
Yeah, well, the Coastal Hazards and Climate Change Guidance came out in 2017, and that's now a national guidance under the Ministry for the Environment, and I was a co-author of that. And in that, councils have a lot of guidance as to how they can think about long-term climate change and the effect that that has on the sort of decisions they take today. So, for example, some councils have already identified the areas that are at risk. They've done risk assessments. Mm. And some have looked at a number of options for phasing in changes that in their plans that can control further development. They've identified hazard zones and so forth. However, the problem with sea level rise is that it's going to continue, and it'll continue inland in low-lying areas, and it's not going to stop. So when the planning's taking place, there's an adaptive approach where you can identify those sorts of options that can be maybe temporary in the meantime, and the plan can prohibit development behind those protections so that you don't get more intense development. Because in the end, seawalls and raising houses and filling land are not going to be permanent, and because you won't be able to access the areas because only the building sites will be raised. So you've got some problems long term, and if the councils that are getting ahead of the game now will be able to effect that change more quickly when the new legislation comes in, which is largely dealing with property issues, who owns the property when the sea comes in, and dealing with who pays for retreat of some areas or building of protection in other areas. So there's a big cost impost coming, and that needs to be sorted out in legislation. But there's a lot they can do in the meantime to get prepared. and to do the planning now.
Now, we've seen attempts made to help manage this issue. However, these have been considered short-term solutions, which can lull people into a false sense of security. Are there any other ways this has happened?
Yeah, one particular way that's being used is tilling the land. In other words, putting a lot of debris in soil and compacting it for foundations and effectively raising the land above sea level rise levels. And one of the problems with that is that you have to be able to get to the area. So if the area is in fact you know, sitting on its own like an island, and the sea starts to rise and you get more flooding, it's just not going to be sensible long term. If you're investing a large amount of money into, say, public buildings or even houses, this is not a long term solution. And so what we've suggested is in the guidance is that this dynamic adaptive pathways planning enables you to identify the actions you can take now that enable you to make adjustments further in the future. And that has been adopted by some councils already. Marlborough District Council have put that in their regional coastal plan. They haven't got rules in yet, but they've got the basis for undertaking that activity with communities. And so communities can understand that this is not something that can you can just put a wall up and the problem will go away.
Mm. And that was producer Joe Wickens talking to Judy Lawrence from Victoria University of Wellington. And the study conducted by Judy and her team will ultimately look to provide recommendations for greater collaborations between regional and district councils on consistent use of information and methods and the application of regional rules that have immediate effect to control land use change and development.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.